Thank you, man. This morning, I can't ignore, nor do I would I want to, you know, that this is September 11th, and that 15 years ago today, the world as we know it changed in a lot of ways. Just out of curiosity, do we have any first responders that are here with us today? Is there anybody that's a first responder here today? Nobody in this service? Okay, we had some in the first service, and we got to pray over them, which was very cool. You know somebody that is, encourage them. Let them know that your church is praying for them. Let them know that we prayed for them today, and we did. Some Sundays, just depending upon how crazy their things are going for them, the whole Pleasant View Fire Department will show up and take up a section of the back, which is always pretty awesome. So encourage those guys and our police officers. And this day and age, I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's a police officer in Memphis, and you know, we talk quite regularly, texting back and forth and that kind of thing. And I know him from side business stuff, but you know, we have managed to build a relationship, and I've just tried to be an encouragement to him in this day and age, especially even just with what's happened in the last year alone. The things that they face of literally putting their lives on the line, it's just unimaginable, the things that they have to walk into. And even he said, you know, basically any call, it doesn't matter if it's a distress call, if it's, you know, the cat stuck in the tree, they have to approach every call now as if, you know, somebody's waiting around the corner waiting to get them, you know, kind of thing. And so that's crazy, and that's hard. So, encourage those folks who do give so much and putting their lives on the line for us when you get a chance, and their families. And we prayed for their families as well this morning. And I know that we have some of those in here right now. And thank you for the sacrifice that you make for them to be able to do that for the rest of us. It does not go unseen. And we will never know a lot of what you probably experience and go through that. And we prayed today that God would give you peace. And in fact, let's just go ahead and pray even now for those families. We have a lot of these families as a part of our church. I'd like to just pray for them now and for those that aren't with us this morning, but I know call this their church home. Let's pray together. God, I lift up right now to you these folks, Lord, that have a calling in their life, Lord, to do, Lord, crazy things for us, to help keep us safe, to help take care of us. Lord, I pray not only for them, but I pray for their families. I pray, Lord, that you would provide for them. I pray, Lord, that you would protect them. Lord, I pray that you just have your hand on them. God, I pray, Lord, that you would take away worry and anxiousness and those things, Lord, and that they would trust in you and the calling that they have, or their spouse has, or their dad or their mom or whoever. God, just have your hand, Lord, on these families. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to step up and do what you've led them to do. God, have your hand on them as you continue to protect and provide. God, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, and the reminder that you are the ultimate protector and provider. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We've been going through the Old Testament for quite some time now, and I'm kind of taking a break from it, but we're still in the Old Testament today, so I'm just not following the path of what we've been doing to kind of jump ahead to talk about something that's been heavy on my heart. And we've been talking about this and kind of dancing around some of what I'm talking about today for a while now, and I just thought, you know, I just really felt led, like this is a time in our church's life where we just have to talk about some things. We've got to talk about, like, where the rubber hits the road and what's coming and what God has in front of us as a church. And today I hope that, you know, as we talk about these things, I'm praying that God will speak to your heart, that you'll be attentive and listening to what he may want you to be a part of. And this is very much a, you know, how is God wanting me to be a part of this, you know, as the future of 24 Church and our community and all these kinds of things. And so it's pretty exciting stuff. And so just know that I'm praying for you as God continues to speak and talk. And this morning, one of the things that, you know, one of the things that we have adopted as a church is this understanding that God has a mission. And so this morning, I'm gonna do some kind of building blocks for you, if you're okay with that. And so the first one is, we know that God has a mission. We see through Scripture, God has a mission. We know that it's His glory. We know that that's what it's about. So God has a mission, okay? Number one, God has a mission. And number two, God has called His church to be a part of that mission. God has called His church to be a part of that mission. So God's got a mission. He's called His church to be a part of that mission. And then thirdly, He's called us to be a part of His church. Now, you may or may not know that, but the church, the body of believers, not a building and times and all that kind of stuff, the body of believers, we're called to a church. We're called to God's church. We're called to the church. And so He's got a mission. The church is a part of the mission. He's called the church to be a part of the mission. And it should be a part of the mission, not always the case. And He's called us to be a part of His church. And with that statement, some of you probably go, well, you know, I'm just here today hanging out. I don't know about being a part of a church. I've been burned by churches. Churches have burned me and they've done me wrong and, you know, this, that, and other. And it's real easy to take that kind of stuff and that mentality and just go, well, you know, I'll just go do church by myself. Well, that doesn't really work. You know, the whole like lone wolf thing, that's not really a biblical model. What we see constantly throughout Scripture is God calling us to be a part of the body of believers. You say, well, Chris, why? I mean, I've been hurt or whatever in the past. Well, here's a big part of why. The big part of why is that the church is full of sinners, just like you and me. And when we get together and we work together and we pursue something together along the way, yeah, there's going to be, you know, disagreements or, you know, things like that. And this amazing thing happens, and it's God's grace is able to be lived out as we've received it from Jesus over our sin and how we've broken His heart. We are able to show it to one another and yet still be a part of the same body of believers. This is how, you know, Cheatham County, this is how Ford and Chevy people coexist together, you know? Trump versus Hillary or whatever, you know, whatever, I don't care. You know, you go any number of directions with all this, and at the end of the day, what we see is we see that God is calling us to a better purpose. A better purpose. A bigger mission. His mission. His glory, okay? And that the world would know Him because they know us. And so God's got a mission. He's called His church to be a part of the mission. He's called us to be a part of His church in order that we would be a part of His mission. So it just kind of goes back over to that. Well, a big part of that mission of His glory is first of all, first and foremost, it's Jesus. The most important thing around here is Jesus. The most important thing around here isn't all these other things that a lot of people probably think. Well, you know, it's the worship style and it's the preacher and it's, you know, it's all. No. It's Jesus. The most important thing is Jesus. And so for us to keep that in mind, I think, is important for us to be reminded of the gospel. And I want to share this passage with you. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't have a Bible, we've got at least an usher that will help you get a Bible. We'd love for you to have a Bible. If you don't own one, we will give you one. You can have it. Just keep it and take it. But we're going to Romans chapter 5 this morning. Romans chapter 5. But in Romans chapter 5, we see this awesome passage of Scripture. Don't make the man walk around the room just for no reason. Just because you feel bad for him, get a Bible, okay? There you go, right there. So, so Romans chapter 5, we see this passage of Scripture that is this reminder of who we are and what God has done through His Son Jesus for us, despite the fact that we're sinners. Now, so many people have this. I've had this conversation so many times with somebody. It's like, you know, I'm thinking about you know, trusting the Lord to be my Savior. I'm thinking about trusting Jesus to be my Savior. You know, God, I feel like God's speaking to my heart, and I'm just kind of right there. But I got to be honest. I need to get some stuff together first. I need to get my life together first. You know, that's this idea. Like we're gonna clean everything up. You know, and then go to Jesus kind of thing. It's this, you know, and there's something ingrained in us, you know. And the truth is this, We need Jesus to clean up our junk. We can't do it. You know, we'll just spend the rest of our life flailing around trying to, you know, and even at that, we're still reminded, man, we're still sinners. And we still got stuff that we struggle with. And it's just, and it is this constant daily reminder that we still need Jesus. He's the biggest thing. Romans 5, verse 6, it says this. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now think about that for just a second. What does it not say? It doesn't say, well, when we built up all of the strength that we needed, then God sent Jesus to do the thing. No. While we were still weak, we couldn't do this for ourselves. We needed God to intervene with Jesus for us. And not only that, but at the right hand, and if you're not a Christian and you're sitting here today and you're sitting here looking at this passage of Scripture, you may look at this and go, Chris, that's weird. Like, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly? He died for the ungodly? I thought he died for Christians. He did die for Christians. He died that ungodly people would be Christians. You see, the truth is that we're all sinners. None of us has it together. If you've been playing this church game, you know, of like, you know, well, you know, I'm you know, when I get it together, then I'll trust in the Lord and all that. I mean, you're missing out. We need Jesus to make the difference. We need him to pay the price and the penalty for our sins. And he did so. And he did so while we were still weak and while we were still ungodly. Verse 7, it goes on, it says, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die." You think about first responders there. I can't help but think about them today in thinking about that. But it's basically saying, you and I, we wouldn't normally give our lives for a good person. Jesus came and he gave his life for everybody, and everybody's bad. You know? I mean, that's basically what it's getting at. And then at verse 8, it says, "But God shows his love for us," and check this out, "in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners. You think about that for a minute. While we were still breaking God's heart, he sent Jesus to die for us. He knew we would still, and he knew that we would still break his heart. He didn't go, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to fix this for good, and, you know, they ever break my heart again, they're gone. They're out of the family, right? Got to go to a couple of family reunions yesterday in Kentucky. It was amazing. Fried chicken. Everybody has fried chicken at a family reunion, don't they? I mean, you know, I was grateful for it, but I was going, man, I'd like to have some hot chicken, you know? Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Folks, you and I wouldn't give our life for somebody that has given us the moon, usually. God sent his only son to die for us. And in verse 9 it says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." You see, sin has a consequence, and the consequence is death. Jesus came and gave his life and shed his blood, that in us, in through him and trusting in him, he is the way. He took the penalty for our sin. He took the death that we deserve on the cross, shedding his blood. But even better than that, he rose 3 days later. Death couldn't keep him. And he defeated death on our behalf, that we can live. Not just now, but in death. Pretty amazing stuff. Okay. So, God's got a mission. The church is called to be a part of the mission. We're called to be a part of the church so that we are part of his mission. So if we say the statement, I want God to lead me in my life, I want to be a part of the mission of God, then we are saying, not only do I want to glorify Jesus in, you know, things that I do, but we are saying, I want to be a part of the church, to be a bigger part of the bigger mission of God. Not just my mission for God. You know, see the difference there? Like we grill get into like our own missions for God sometimes, kind of thing. And meaning well sometimes to do so. We've been called to be a part of the church, as messy as it is, and show grace to one another, and God is glorified even in that. So, if that's true, and we know that it is, if that's true today, and we're called to be a part of his church, we're called to be a part of his mission, and we're gonna do that, what does it look like for his church to be faithful to him? What's it look like for 24 Church to be faithful to the calling of the mission of God? Well, first and foremost, it's Jesus out in front. We just covered that. But it's being faithful to the things that he's called us to through Scripture, that we see things like telling others about him, leading others to him, making disciples of him, sending people out to reach others. What if I told you that God is about to drop right in front of our church the opportunity of a lifetime to reach others for the kingdom? What if I told you that he is about to do some things, that he is going to give us opportunity that so many churches would dream to have? No secret is that our community is growing. It's growing. And it's going to continue to grow. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care whether or not you want it to grow or you do want it to grow or whatever. You know, I mean, we started this church here based on the prediction and the understanding that we're located between two cities, Clarksville and Nashville, that we believed eventually would probably grow together. And I still believe, and that may take some time, but I still believe that that's really going to happen eventually. And here's this spot in the middle where people want to be between the two and escape away from the big city life, at least for the moment, or whatever. And our community, it's growing. It's starting to grow. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. God is putting in front of us an opportunity for us to not just be good citizens of where we live, the street that we live on, the zip code that we call home, but good citizens of the kingdom. He's called his church to be about his mission, which is making him known. And if that's true, and he's called us to be a part of a community that is growing, then we need to pay attention. We don't want to be reactionary. We want to be ready. There's a simple principle that I have always believed when it comes to ministry and when it comes to the church, even within your personal walk with the Lord. And I think we see Jesus play this principle out over and over through parables that he shares and talks through. And the principle is this: why would God bring us people to minister to if we're not ready for them? Why would God bring people for us to minister to if we are not ready for them? Now, if we are ready for them, if we are, you know, ready to be a part and being led and being faithful in what God is wanting to do and that kind of thing, then what's that look like? What does it look like for us to be faithful? I want to read this passage to you. If you got your Bible, Jeremiah 29. And there's a passage later in Jeremiah 29. This is mostly the passage that most people go to, but we're going to go before that. I want to look at this passage that has been so very important to us as a church for many, many years. And this passage of Scripture is actually, it's actually God's words to his people who had been sent to exile, okay? And so they're in exile. I want you to kind of get that word in your head for a second and remember, they're in exile. They're not on an island somewhere sipping margaritas, okay? They're in exile, okay? Think like, you know, solitary confinement, okay? Like, I'm putting you over here, you know? And so, like, probably not like some joyous, like, wonderful, you know, Charlie the Unicorn kind of place here, okay? Some of you don't know what that is, and that's okay. But, I mean, just like something not a good situation. But in the midst of that, God has put them there for a reason, okay? Don't ever waste your suffering. There's always a reason, okay? Always a reason. So they're there, and then God gives them a word, and here it is. Jeremiah 29, verse 5, and he tells them what to do. Here's what you're going to do, folks, while you're in exile. He says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Now, first of all, like the last thing that we want to do if we're in some kind of transient moment of life is build a house and start planting gardens. I mean, we're what are we doing? We're sitting there going, okay, come on, God. Next thing, we're ready. Ready now, God. We're ready. We prayed last night. Go ahead and answer the prayer. Come on. Let's go. You got it. You can do whatever. Whatever you want to do to God, yeah, come on, let's go, right? He says to them, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. By the way, part of that was that they would share it. Verse 6, take wives. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. We're trying to help with that. Verse 7. Some people are like, why are people laughing? Verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Folks, this is like, you know, if we're called to be light and we believe God has led us to an area, a city, a county, a whatever, the I-24 corridor, maybe you live on the other side of town. Guess what? God called you there. There's a reason that you're there, okay? Whatever it is, or wherever it is. And I think for us this morning, I think that it's important for us to recognize that God puts us places on purpose. When we started the church, one of the things that we talked about over and over and over again, and when we were praying, we were asking people to pray about being a part of this church when we were starting about 12 and a half years ago, 13 years ago is when we actually moved back here, oddly enough. And that was before we'd actually gotten started. And during that time period, we were asking people, would you pray about being a part of this? And you know what we would say? We'd say, we want to ask you to pray about being a part of it. But even further than that, we want you to pray about that God would use you as a missionary right here. That you would be a missionary for his kingdom here. That we together would be missionaries here. You know what missionaries do? Missionaries go into a place and they look for needs and they begin to meet needs so that they can share the gospel that others can know about Jesus. That's what missionaries do. Did you know that you are a missionary? Did you know that you're called to be a missionary? Where you work, where you go to school, where you live, that crazy neighbor that you have, you're their missionary. I just ruined your day. You're not even going to be able to eat lunch now. It's a blessing to get to be a part of the mission of God. But here's my fear. A lot of people are pushing back away from the table and saying, you know what? That's for somebody else. I just want to go and listen and go home. I don't want to get my hands dirty or any of that. And, you know, I get enough Jesus on Sunday and then don't really have to worry about it much during the week. I'll pray, you know, and I'll, you know, sometimes I'll read a little scripture or got my devotion app or whatever, you know, and, you know, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty. Folks, if that's where you are, you're not on God's mission, you're on yours. And I don't say that to guilt you. I just say that to just because I love you. I don't want you to be there, and it's not because I want you to do something else necessarily. I do. I want you to be close to the Lord. I want you to be led by Him. I want Him to use you. We have some amazingly talented people that are a part of this body of believers that if they would allow God to use them and their talents, they could do great things for the kingdom of God. I asked Perry if he would come and join us. Perry, come on up. And Perry, if you don't know, Perry is the mayor here in Pleasant View, and he and his family attend here. Misty's not even staying, man. She's like, dude, I've heard this already. She was slipping out there like, that's so awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
welcome to my world.
That really is awesome.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Now she's staying. She's staying now because she feels guilty.
Nice job.
So Perry is the mayor here in Pleasant View, if you didn't know. And if you hadn't noticed, we're next door to City Hall. So that's all kind of going on. We're right here in the middle of this. And you may say, before we even get into this, because I want to head anything off at the pass where you might go, well, I don't live in Pleasant View. This doesn't apply to me. No, if you, unless you are hiding under a rock, no matter, if you live anywhere within an hour of here, our community is changing. And we're going to talk about some of that here in just a second. But I thought, you know, if it's true that God has a mission, and His mission includes His church, He's called His church to be a part of the mission, and He's called us to be a part of His church, and our church is in Pleasant View,
yep.
I think this is a pretty good place to start.
It's a great place to start.
So I've asked Perry to come and just kind of come and share. It's election season and all that, and he's not here for that. I asked him to come, and no politics involved. I just asked him to come and share, like, tell us the stuff that we don't know, that we don't see or hear about statistically, numerically, whatever, about this community and how it's changing. So run with it.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So just echoing that for a second. Yeah, obviously it's election season, but this isn't about that. This is about not endorsing one thing or the other, but just talking about what the future of this church looks like and how this church is going to play such an important role in our community as a whole. Obviously, Pleasant View is growing, and we've had some pretty exciting things happen in the last 3 or 4 months. One of those is somebody has bought the Pleasant View Village down here. That all of that stuff that kind of looks like a moonscape, that's what they, with all the rocks and the clay and that kind of thing, it's about 192 building lots there. And so somebody actually came in and bought that, and they're going to start building there again, which means you're looking at 192 new homes that are going to be going in over there. Somebody is also
Next door.
Somebody's also purchased the rest of the subdivision across the street over at Pleasant View Downs, which is going to be another 20 or 25. And then had another developer came in, and he bought Bradley Bend down on Triangle Road, and that one, when it's all said and done, it's going to be about 70 or 80 additional homes. They've already got like the first 14 in there or 15 in there now. So Pleasant View is growing. It is. And the way that it's growing, this church is going to play a really crucial role in that.
Yeah. One of the things that we met and talked about some of this week, one of the things that Perry mentioned were was the number of plots ready to be built on a year ago versus today. What was that like?
So in outside of Pleasant View city limits, but inside the zip code of Pleasant View proper, so to speak, there was about 500 or 600 lots that were kind of left over from the real estate crash in 2007. And developers now have come in and they've bought those. Unfortunately, there's just quite a few folks that they tried to hold on and they just couldn't. And so here we are now, almost 9 years later, and developers have come in and they've bought those to see what they can do about re-energizing some of those subdivisions and those neighborhoods. And with that, now they're at about 70% or so of those are already committed out. And that's a big number. That's a really big number.
The average house, he told me this week, the average house that goes on the market in Pleasant View, how many days before it gets a contract?
It's about 3. So if you want to sell your house, there's plenty of real estate agents that go to our church that you guys can get connected to, and they would love to help you, I'm sure. So, but yeah, about 3 days.
They're having a heyday these days.
It is definitely a
buyer's
market.
They should be buying us steak dinners.
Yeah, our seller's market, rather, right now. Yeah, they should. They absolutely should. Mm. We should make that
happen.
We need
to work on that.
Yeah, we should.
You've got some slides for us. Talk us through this stuff that you brought with you.
Okay. All right. So this looks like a really small number, but this is probably one of the single most statistics that I have to deal with. 36.3. That's the median average age for the city limits of Pleasant View. That's crazy. That is crazy. That is below the national average. 20 years ago, that number was like in the middle 40s. So what that does is that tells us that 36.3 being the median average age within the city limits of Pleasant View, that's the demographics that are largely looking at our community. Makes me feel old now.
I was about to say, that's even younger than we are.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know. So it makes me feel old. But here's why that's so crucial. It's because we know that on average, you're going to get about 2.3 to 2.8 people per home that is built or occupied within the city limits of Pleasant View, just as an average. And that tells us that you've got a younger generation that is moving into the community, and that younger generation's got a completely different set of needs than the folks that are the older generations that, you know, were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. The younger generation, they've got kids that are going to go to school. They need more Sunday school options. They want to play sports. They want more community activities and more community involvement. And so this is a really important number for us to know.
That number is going to change the face of this town.
That it absolutely will. 1,474 homes. So that's right now roughly how many rooftops we have inside the city limits of Pleasant View. But when you look at all of these other developments now that have been purchased and people are going to start doing those developments again, that number is going to increase. 4149. So as of the 2010 census, this was the population of the city limits of Pleasant View. So that number obviously is crucial for us to know for two reasons. One, because that gives us the ability to obviously know what the population is as of 2010. But two, we've compared that to the number of building permits that have been pulled inside the city limits since that last number. Now, this year, for those of you that live inside the city limits of Pleasant View, in October, I think, we're sending out a card that is basically what's called a census card. It's not like that big thing you get from the government every 10 years. It literally has two questions. What's your address? Give me the names of everybody that lives in your house. Doesn't matter if they're newborn to 90. It doesn't matter if they're kids that have gone away to college but they're still living at home on weekends or what have you. We need those numbers, and here's why. The city of Pleasant View gets what's called state shared revenues back from the state of Tennessee, and the amount of money that we get is based off of what our population is. It usually averages out to between about $100 and $115 per head. And if this number, according to where they think that we're going to land, it's going to be right at about $4,300 or so. You're talking about a big increase annually in the amount of money that we get back from the state of what, you know, their state shared revenues are. And so this is important for us to know for two reasons. One, of where we are, but then when the new number comes in, which way we're headed. So Highest median home value. All right, so this may not be a shock to some of you folks that are in here, but the city of Pleasant View has the highest median home value in our surrounding area, okay? And it's staggering because now it's getting crazy. It's almost like Brentwood numbers. I mean, it's ridiculous what some of the people are getting for these new homes that they're building. But in the last roughly 2.5 or 3 years of all the building permits that were pulled, the average value of those was about $224,000. That's a high number, especially when you're looking at these 36-year-old people coming in and buying $224,000 houses, punks. So that tells us what our median average home value is, and this, again, also plays into where the future of Pleasant View is headed. Mm-hmm. Highest secondary level of education. We kind of chuckled about this in the earlier service.
It does not include driving school.
Real estate classes. what it does include is anybody that has gone to any kind of secondary level of education beyond high school. Not completed, but just attended, whether it's online courses or whether you've gone and just had a semester of college or whether you've gone all the way through and gotten your doctoral or your master's, what have you. That's what this stands for, which, again, tells us a lot about the demographics that we have of Pleasant View and you know, just kind of the psychodemographics that go along with that. There's some really smart people in Pleasant View. I'm not one of them, so that's okay. So, no, go ahead. All right, highest median home income. So right now, our median home income is around $74,000. The state average for the state of Tennessee is $57,000. So we're about $17,000 higher here in Pleasant View than what the state average is. Now, for those of you that are making a lot more than that, good for you. The ones that aren't, I'm in your boat, so I get it. So I understand. But again, it kind of goes back to tell just a broad picture when you start putting all of these little puzzle pieces together. Was that? Oh, this one. Yes. All right. So some of you guys know or have seen in the news about the Lowe's distribution center that is coming across the interstate from us in Cooperstown.
It's actual Lowe's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't try to go
over
there and go
shopping.
A lot of people
tell me, I'm excited about this Lowe's coming.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to go buy some 2x4s, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is a shame.
This is the internet distribution center mm-hmm. for Lowe's for North America.
It is.
That's
it
getting
is.
Set over in Cooperstown, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so that building, to kind of put it in perspective, that building is going to be right at about 1 million square feet, sitting on 110 acres. This building is
15,000.
15,000. So if you take almost 70 of this building, not this room, but this whole building, if you take almost 70 of this, that's how big that distribution center is going to be. It's huge. It's huge. Now, up the street, we've also got Hankook Tire, which they're building their facility off of Exit 8. And they are putting in 2 1-million-square-foot buildings side by side. It's massive. I got an early tour of some of the site prep work that they were doing, and the gentleman, the engineer that was giving us the tour, took us over to where they're getting what's called a main line from TVA, because this place is going to need so much power that they're getting a direct feed from TVA that's going to just supply that building. The substation just for that building is going to take up 4 acres. 4 acres just for the substation to provide the power for that. So that thing is going to be massive, massive, massive. 5,000 to 6,000. So here's why that number is important. At full production, Hankook Tire is anticipating to be right at about 1,800 jobs or somewhere real close to that. The state of Tennessee is estimating that that's going to translate into between 5,000 and 6,000 rooftops, because those 1,800 people are going to need places to live. They're going to want additional places to shop. They're going to want additional places to go get gas. So there's going to be new convenience stores, new gas stations, new places to eat, new places to get your nails done and your hair did and all of those types of things. And so that's going to translate to a really big number, and not all of those folks are going to land in Clarksville. there's going to be quite a few that are going to land here because they may have one spouse that works in Nashville and the other one's going to work there. And so we've got to be able to prepare for whatever that number is. I mean, you think about it. If we just get 10% of that, that's an additional 500 homes. In addition to the other almost 500 that these people
are. And we already only have like 1,400 homes.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's possibility here where this city will double or more in size in the years to come. And we haven't touched the Google deal yet either, where, if you didn't know, Google bought the
Hemlock
plant that went bankrupt or whatever that they were building in Clarksville. And that place is ginormous.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a massive facility.
It's I think it dwarfs some of this other stuff that we're talking about. I mean, it's Google. You know? So, I mean, you know, what I don't know what they're doing there. Like, search engine, like, sitting around.
They're spying on us.
What comes up first push Y or something? Yeah, I think that's probably it.
They're that concerned about Pleasant View.
What can we as a church, how can we help, how can we be for the good of the city? How can we be like this Jeremiah 29, like looking forward, how can we be for the good of this area?
Well, the analogy that I used in the first service is, I said basically we need to look at going back old school, okay? We're going to have people that are moving into our neighborhoods. Folks are going to be selling houses. They're going to be upsizing. They're going to be downsizing. But what that means is we're going to have people that are moving into our neighborhoods that we don't know. They're going to be coming from more than likely somewhere other than Pleasant View, which means that we need you to be missional. We need people to be willing to go and just knock on the door and hand them a plate of cookies and introduce themselves. You know, hey, how are you? Tell me, you know, I see you're moving in. You got boxes everywhere. Where are you from? You know, that stuff is all things that should be second nature to our Southern hospitality. But, you know, as I jokingly said earlier, some of you guys can't cook. So go to Golly G's. They'll make you some cookies and then take them and take credit for it, you know, and say, oh, yeah, put it in your own Tupperware. My wife does that too. Y'all know what's on with that. So that's what you get for trying to leave. But that is key. I mean, just be missional. Invite these folks to come to church or invite them over for dinner and just, you know, develop that relationship. You know, Misty was telling me between services, we were talking about this, and she said, you know, our church has an opportunity to be the church with open arms. When this influx of people come in over the next 10 years or however long it takes to get to that point, we're the church that has that ability to have the open arms and to be able to welcome those people in. And then you keyed in on something a minute ago that made me think, you know, you were talking about missionaries going and having a purpose and going to the, you know, different communities or what have you. The last thing that I think that this church wants is to have other missionaries having to come here because we're not doing our job of being missional and we're not reaching out like we should. So I think it's vitally important. We're going to get a lot of folks that are moving in here that, you know, maybe they used to attend church somewhere, but then when they moved, they kind of fell out of, you know, that routine of going on Sundays and that kind of stuff. Invite them. Absolutely.
How important are things like our Serve Sunday stuff to our community?
Vitally important. So this church has done a couple of Serve Sunday projects for the city. One of those is you guys built some map stands over at the soccer park on Pleasant View Road, the community park. And those were built by this church. The last one that we did, we ended up with about 25 or 30 people that helped us with a Serve Sunday project for going out and picking up trash over here on 41A. And we put on those sexy yellow vests that you see the parking lot people wear, you know, the really attractive ones. So we put those on. We got out here on 41A. Dan Saylor took a crew and started over by the water department. We took a crew and started over here and went down towards Pinnacle Road and turned around. And then we just kind of met back in the middle. And in about 2.5 hours, we picked up 83 bags of trash. And I don't mean like the kitchen bags. I mean like those big obnoxious yard bags. 83 bags of trash. Now, to tell you that I feel bad about that because I drive that every day. And I'd never noticed that much of a problem with it, you know, until somebody brought it to our attention and not started really looking. I was like, wow, we do have an issue with that. But 83 bags of trash, I would have never guessed. So this church was awesome with that. And we did. We had about 20 or 25 people come out and help with that. And if it wasn't for having that many people from this church doing that, we'd still be out there trying to pick up 83 bags of trash.
Yeah. You know, we love this town, you know, and it needs to be heavy on our heart that we would continue to do just as that passage teaches us, which is to be praying for our city, praying for its leaders. And I told Perry that that's something that I wanted us to be a part of doing today. Perry, thank you
awesome.
So much.
Thank you.
For your time.
Very
we
much.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
brother. Thank you. So what's this look like? You know, if all these people are coming, I mean, not just Pleasant View. We're just talking about Pleasant View because he's the mayor and we're here and that's where the church is and that kind of thing. But I mean, the truth of it is that all of this area is going to boom. It's going to grow. We're going to have tons of people moving here. A bunch of them won't look anything like you. They won't talk anything like you. You know, they'll be weird like you or, you know, whatever. And at the end of the day, this is a huge opportunity for us to get to minister and possibly lead so many people to Jesus. You know, and I know we talk about things like, you know, micro churches a lot, our small group ministry, people meeting in homes and gathering together and breaking bread together and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, just how important is that going to be to this happening? Like, we can embrace these people when they come and move in down the street from us, or we can just pretend like that they never came and just go on about our merry way because we're too busy. And we're, you know, I mean, let's just face it. I mean, that's what a lot of this comes down to. The 36.3 number. That number is really important. And it's not just important to the city of Pleasant View. It's important to all of us. And it's important to the kingdom of God. And here's why. Because if 36-year-olds are moving here and buying houses, guess what they're bringing with them? And he mentioned it. Kids. Talked to one of our coaches a couple weeks ago after we've been talking about this a little bit on Sunday mornings. And he realized, we were standing in the high school together actually during a lunch period. And he was like, I was like, what's the... Is it overcrowded? Is it just right? Is it, what's it like here at the school? And he said, actually, it's just right. He's like, but you've been talking about all this stuff at church. And he said, I'll be honest with you, it's got me thinking. Like, what's going to happen here? Like, are we going to have to build other schools? Like, what's going to happen? You know, and probably so. It's going to change a lot of things. But even more important than things growing and schools needing to be built and those kinds of things are things such as this. Let me read you some stats that I think are very important to the thought process of what we're talking about here for the kingdom. Okay? For the kingdom. And these are statistics of people, at what ages people receive Jesus as their Savior. Okay, are you ready for this? Here you go. These are Barna statistics, which are pretty well trusted and that kind of thing and whatnot. It says the current Barna study indicates that nearly half of all Americans who receive Jesus as their Savior do so before the age of 13 years old. 43%. And by the way, they've been doing this same survey for the past 20 years, and it keeps coming back the same. It keeps coming back the same. 43% of people that will receive Jesus as their Savior, that will happen before they are 13 years old. Two out of the three born-again Christians, 64%, made that commitment to Christ before their 18th birthday. So now we've bumped it up a little bit. We've included anybody before, you know, anybody that received Christ their Savior before they were 18, it's 64%. And then one out of eight born again people, 13%, made their profession of faith while they were between 18 and 21. So add another 13% onto your 64, and you've got this other number that is, you know, it's a large number of people receiving Christ before a certain age. And then it says less than one out of every four born-again Christians, 23% to be exact, less than 23% of people who come to know Christ do so after they are 21 years old. Why is it important? Why is it important? It tells me this. It tells me that kids' ministries are important. It tells me that student ministries like what we have here on Wednesday nights are important. Because if we wait to try to reach them after they are 21 years old, the chances are only 23% that that will be successful. We have a better chance at teaching them the gospel while they are children than we do when they become adults. And we know this. We know what it's like to become adults. You become an adult. I mean, when's the last time you met a 21-year-old that doesn't know it all? I mean, right? You know? Some of you got 13-year-olds that are the same way, right? Maybe that's why it's always those age differences, those jumps. We need to be putting our best teachers teaching Jesus to our children. Folks, if we're not ready for it, God's not going to send them. I really believe that. I do not believe that God wants to see His church fail. But I do believe that He wants to see us be faithful before He's going to allow people to come through the doors that we're not ready to minister to. So what's this come down to? It comes down to us asking serious questions about our lives and our priorities, about where are we really in this whole thing? I mean, do we really believe Jesus is the most important thing? Do we really believe that the mission of God is the most important thing to our lives? Because if so, we're called as a church to be a part of that mission, and for us to be a part of the church, that we would be a part of seeing these people come to know Jesus. Churches dream that subdivisions would be built around them. You realize that? We are going to get to experience something very special if we are faithful. And that means that we as a whole have to kind of quit looking around and going, oh, that was a great message today. I hope those people that needed to hear it listen to it. You know? It's all of us. We all got to do it. We all got to be a part. We're all called to this. I mean, you cannot do it, but guess what? You're just doing your mission, not God's. Don't do that. Don't miss out. This is going to be an amazing ride. I don't know if you realize that, but like what we're going to get to experience is going to be amazing. We're going to look back on days like today and go, yeah, you remember the time Perry came and talked, we talked about the numbers and all that, and I thought they were kind of crazy. And then, you know, years down the road, our kids are going to be best friends with kids that moved here. Our teachers are going to be teachers teaching our kids who moved here. And we get the opportunity to share with them the most important thing in the world, the glory of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's amazing. It's not just teachers for kids' rooms and that kind of stuff. It's all of it. We got needs with our security team. Talk to Jeff Crow, our deacon over security. He'll tell you. He's looking for like 13 guys right now to be a part of his team so that at all times we have people that are watching everything going on around here. We're looking at putting in video cameras, all this stuff. Not because anything happens, because we don't want to be reactionary. We want to be ready for these things. We want to be ready for what God gives us an opportunity. We want to be faithful. Some of you are so talented. And maybe it's just that you have the gift of gab. Maybe it's that you could stand in a parking lot and make people feel welcome. Do you know that I have had people come to our church and tell me, I knew this was my church home before we got out of our car? We've had people make the decision that this is where they would put their family as a church and a church home based upon what happened in the parking lot before they ever got in here. Now, that's a great testimony for our parking team. I mean, that those guys are that friendly and they love on people and are great with the umbrellas on rainy days and all that stuff. And many of you jump in and help them with that, which is so awesome, by the way. And I love that our church does that. But let me just kind of paint this picture. What if there's another place that's also great in the parking lot that they could go to on Sunday mornings, but when they get inside, they're being taught something other than Jesus is the way, a false gospel. That makes this real, or it should make this real, that we are running a race, and it is till the end. And when, you know, I know that for a lot of us, we think, you know, we got all the time in the world, I'll get around to serving later on, I'll get involved later on, and all this kind of stuff. Let's just keep going for right now. We'll just keep praying. You know, eventually God will lead us to something. You're going to wake up one day and go, man, I wasted a ton of stinking time not being about the kingdom of God. God's putting something in front of us that's a blessing. He's going to build subdivisions around this place, you know? And around your house, for some of you that don't live right here, and I don't live right here, and he's going to do it probably across the street from my house too. And they are gospel opportunities because at the end of the day, it's all part of his plan. He has a mission. The church is a part of the mission, and we're called to be a part of the church. Let's be faithful. It's seeing his mission through. I want to share this one quote, and I'm going to close. John Piper. He says this. He says, let's live so that the natives will want to meet our king. Let's live so that the natives will want to meet our king. See, that's not a Sunday morning thing. That's an all the time thing. It's a both and. We got all the time, we got life throughout the week that we're getting to be Jesus to people, but like it or not, we've got Sunday mornings too. And in a Southern culture, people go to churches on Sundays and they're looking for answers and they're looking for people to minister to them and they're looking for some place that will love them. And God has given us this huge, huge responsibility and opportunity that we could get to be a part of something that he's going to do through this church. Let's don't miss it. Let's pray together.